Okay, I will call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is currently 10:48 a.m. on Monday, May 15th, 2023. And present today, we have Representative Josephson, Representative Hannan, Representative Galvin, Representative Stapp, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Ortiz, Representative Cologne, myself, Co-Chair Foster. Before we start, just a reminder, folks can mute their cell phones. This morning, we'll hear House Bill 112, which is Profession of Pharmacy, and Senate Bill 81, the Office of Victims' Rights, Attorney Compensation. We'll move that if it is the will of the committee. We also have with us Representative Kronk. And so let's see here, I've got, oh wait. So we've got HB 112, Profession of Pharmacy, and Senate Bill 81, the Office of Victims' Rights, Attorney Compensation. So first up, we'll hear HB 112, Profession of Pharmacy, and I'd like to invite up Representative Ruffridge, as well as his staff, Bud Sexton, to come to the table, put yourselves on the record. And if you can give us a brief recap of the bill, then we'll take questions. And my understanding is no amendments were received, which is correct, yes. Also, I'd like to recognize we have with us Representative Co-Chair Johnson. And so with that, Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair Foster and members of Finance Committee. HB 112 is designed to update some statutes for the practice of pharmacy. It is a multi-year process involving many chairs with the Board of Pharmacy, myself included, and current chair as well as the past chair before myself. It is our intent to update these statutes to help us modernize the profession, as well as add in some important updates to how things have changed over the last decade or so in the profession. And this has been brought forward by the Board of Pharmacy, as well as the Alaska Pharmacists Association, who have concurred that these are some necessary and important changes to make, and certainly happy to answer any of your questions.
Great, thank you. And so we'll open it up to questions, and then we'll go through the fiscal note. So with that, any questions for the sponsor first? See no questions. So if we could have Ms. Sylvan Robb come up to the table, put yourself on the record, and walk us through the fiscal note, which is OMB component 2360.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, committee. For the record, my name is Sylvan Robb. I'm the director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. And, Mr. Chair, I did also want to let you know that we do have Ashley Schaefer, the board chair, available as well.
Great. Thank you.
So the fiscal note for this bill requests in FY24$705,600. You will see that amount increases in FY25 and then remains consistent for the remainder of the fiscal note at $751,200. The difference from FY24 to FY25 is there is a decrease in startup costs of $50,000, and also the regulations project of $4,400 drops off, but then there's an increase in legal fees for those out years. I would like to point out to the committee that the request for the total of that only $269,400 is general fund. The rest of those funds will be paid for through receipt-supported services by the licensees. And the fiscal note is primarily supporting 5 additional staff to handle the additional workload created by this bill.
Great, thank you. Do we have any questions on the fiscal note? I see folks intently reading the fiscal note, so I'll give it a moment here. Also, just to reiterate, you noted that Ms. Ashley Sabre, board chair, is online. I see her online, so wanted to let folks know she's available for questions. Representative Hannan.
Thank you, Chair Foster. Ms. Robb, currently how much general fund does the board require for operation?
Through the chair, Representative Hannan, it receives no general fund at this point. The division is funded through receipt-supported services.
Follow up.
So this sets in motion a change for this board, and I am just curious as to whether the department has intention to do that with all of the professional boards that currently self-fund, or is it anticipated that all of them will reshuffle and change rates so that general fund isn't used?
Through the chair, Representative Hannah, in the governor's FY24 budget, he did include general fund to pay for the investigations within the division. And so the fiscal note reflects the anticipation of that happening. Obviously, we don't know what the final budget looks like yet. And so if that were to be approved by both bodies, then for all of our investigations for all boards and the other programs, those would be funded by general fund. And if that does not continue, then the full amount of the fiscal note would be funded through receipt supported services.
Follow up.
So just to clarify, thank you, Chair Foster. This fiscal note reflects the cost of investigators that may, through separate legislation, actually be captured and would zero out the general fund element in outgoing years.
Through the chair, Representative Hannon, if I understood your question correctly, yes. So it just depends on if the general fund stays in the budget, but otherwise, the full amount would be receipt supported services.
And that, hello? Chair Foster, that's general funds to pay for investigators for all of our boards that have investigative responsibilities for professional licensures.
Through the chair, Representative Hannon, that is correct. So we do have investigators for not just boarded programs, but they do investigations for the 22 programs without boards as well as for corporations and business licensing as needed.
Thank you.
Okay. Further questions? Representative Gavin?
I have a question that's outside of fiscal notes, so I can wait whenever it's appropriate. I'm sorry I didn't have it in advance.
I think that's all the fiscal note questions we have. So if the sponsor might come up, and Ms. Saber is also available. Ms. Representative Galvin.
Thank you. Thank you, Co-Chair Foster, through the chair. This is, just a simple question. I see on the presentation that was given to us, one of the goals was to allow the board to adopt language for retired pharmacist status, and in looking at the sectional analysis, I couldn't find that reference, and so I'm just hoping you can help direct me to that in the bill if it's in here.
Oh, sure. Let me open that up for you. It's a very simple section, basically just adding the term retired pharmacist to the already allowable license types. But I might need to just get back with you offline to find that section for you, so we're not wasting time.
Oh, thank you. I that's not necessary. So the intent then is to allow retired pharmacists also to be permitted to work again. And I guess my question then, if I may, through the chair, is would the same let's see, there are some other guidelines here. I think they now have to have, we've now passed, written in here is a new language around making sure that you have a background check. So would that happen then as well if they're brought back in? Is that what this is?
No, through the chair, retired status is a common status in other medical professions.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a sign of respect. Right now there's only two types of licenses, status, active or lapsed or expired. So this would allow you to essentially have a license type that says you're not working and you're not active, but you're also not lapsed. You've essentially worked your time. You've retired, and you essentially would have that listed on your online platform that you've retired your license.
Okay, yes. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Further questions? Okay, seeing no further questions, before I go to entertainment of a motion, Representative Ruffridge, do you have anything do you want to mention?
Yes, thank you, Chair Foster, for scheduling this bill on such short notice today. Certainly appreciate the committee's effort on this. Representative Gallivan, it is in Section 2B18 in your bill for retired pharmacist status. I certainly would stand available to answer any of your questions offline as well, and appreciate your support for my profession and the profession of pharmacy in the state of Alaska. So, thank
you. Okay, thank you. And again, there were no amendments that were submitted. So if it is the will of the committee, I would entertain a motion. Representative Co-Chair Johnson.
I move House Bill 112, version 33LS0600/B from the House Finance Committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Okay. Seeing no objection, House Bill 112, version 33-LS0600/B is reported out from the House Finance Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. We'll take a brief at ease to allow folks to sign the recommendation sheet. The next bill that will be up before us will be Senate Bill 81, which is Office of Victims' Rights Compensation, sponsored by the Legislative Council. So with that, we'll take a brief at ease. House Finance back to order at 11 a.m. And the next bill before us is Senate Bill 81, which is Office of Victims' Rights Compensation, sponsored by the Legislative Council. And I'd like to ask Senator Gray Jackson's staff, which is Mr. Jeff Stepp, to please come to the table, put yourself on the record, and if you could provide a brief recap of the bill that we had heard previously. And also available to answer questions is Jessica Geary, Executive Director of Legislative Affairs. So with that, Mr. Stepp.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jeff Stepp, staff to Senator Gray Jackson and also committee aide for Ledge Council. Thank you for taking the time to hear this bill this morning. A very brief recap, Mr. Chairman. This bill seeks to accomplish two important goals. First, Senate Bill 81 is required to place the OVR attorneys on the state attorney's salary schedule permanently. And second, SB 81 was identified as a vehicle to assist the Joint Victims Advocate Selection Committee with their task of hiring a permanent victims advocate. And that is the quick summary, Mr. Chairman. As you mentioned, Ms. Geary and Ms. Wallace are available for additional questions.
Great, thank you. So we'll go through the fiscal note in a moment, but before that, just wanted to see if the committee had any questions for Mr. Stepp. Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Mr. Stepp, were the victims' rights attorneys paid through some source back to around October 31st of last year?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, yes, sir, they were.
Thank you.
Okay. Further questions? Seeing none, Ms. Geary, if you could come to the table and put yourself on the record and just walk the committee through the fiscal notes.
Good morning. For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director, Legislative Affairs. It's a simple fiscal note for SB 81, $107,000 to be added to the base to get the four attorneys in the Office of Victims' Rights onto the attorney salary schedule that was created by SB or HB 226. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Committee have any questions? I don't see any questions. So with that, thank you very much, Ms. Geary. For this bill, we did not receive any amendments, and so again, if it is the will of the committee, I would entertain a motion. Representative Co-Chair Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 81, version 33-LS0441-B.A from the House Finance Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Okay.
Notes.
Seeing no objections, Senate Bill 81, version 33-LS0441-B.A is reported out from the House Finance Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. And so that completes our meeting for today. Our next scheduled finance meeting is this afternoon, May 15th at 1:30 p.m. If folks could also remember to stick around to sign the recommendation sheet. That meeting is today at 1:30 this afternoon. We'll be hearing Senate Bill 48, which is a carbon offset program on state land, and Senate Bill 140, Internet for Schools. There's a possibility we had, I believe, six finance meetings that were canceled just due to other meetings that were going on with the Senate and the governor and so forth and floor. But we did have a few meetings where we canceled and we did not have, we had some bills that were supposed to hear that we did not. I believe we can possibly, we might be looking at pushing out the Village Safe Water bill that we had and another one. I'm going to look at my staff here. And Mr. Anderson, if you could come to the table and put yourself on the record. There's another one that we're looking at here. Mr. Anderson.
Thank you. For the record, Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Neil Foster. The other potential bill that you all could hear is SB 77, Municipal Property Tax Exemption, Blighted Property, and there are amendments attached to those.
Okay, and how many amendments do we have for blighted property?
The amendment packet will include
a couple. Three. Okay. So that's the tentative plan. So just want to give folks a heads up. And with that, if there is nothing else to come before the committee, we will be adjourned at 11:05 p.m.